Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, January 20th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
markets stabilize as the global bond sell-off eases.
President Biden warns Russia may move in on Ukraine.
The White House push on voting rights collapses in the Senate.
And the Supreme Court hands a defeat to former President Donald Trump.
New York Mayor Adams says enough is enough after an 11-month-old child was hit by a stray bullet. Plus, New Jersey mandates booster shots for healthcare workers. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshaw in sports. Kyrie Irving led the Nets to a win in Washington. Another win for the Rangers. The Devils lost. So did St. John's.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 106.1 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures on the rise this morning after yesterday's sell-off. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 22 points, Dow futures up 139, and NASDAQ futures up 121. The DAX in Germany is now little changed. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 1.83%, yield on the 2-year 1.03%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.3%. Nathan.
Karen, U.S. futures are stable for now after the NASDAQ ended yesterday in correction territory. Let's get more on this market action live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, the tech-heavy NASDAQ is now down 10.7% since its November peak. It fell more than 1% at yesterday's session. This morning, the global sovereign bond sell-off has paused, and that may have ended the slide in equities for now. Federal Reserve Governor Christopher Waller says policymakers are unlikely to opt for a bigger-than-expected rate increase in March. Investor focus has also turned to corporate earnings. We've had upbeat earnings results from Morgan Stanley, United Health, and Procter & Gamble. There's still plenty of worry, though. Strategist at HSBC just cut the recommendation on U.S. stocks to neutral from overweight. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. We turn to Capitol Hill now for another major story we're following. President Biden's push for voting rights legislation has collapsed in the Senate, and Amy Morris has the details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
First, Republicans used Senate filibuster rules to block the legislation, which includes the Freedom to Vote Act and a measure requiring states to get pre-clearance to change their voting laws. When Majority Leader Chuck Schumer tried to change the rule to allow a simple majority vote, Democrats Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema voted against it. Earlier, President Biden had said that Democrats would likely have to break up the voting rights bill and his economic agenda, which is stalled, to get any of it through Congress. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Amy, that voting rights defeat came after a wide-ranging news conference marking the end of President Biden's first year in office. He faced questions on everything from the pandemic to his stalled economic agenda and tensions with Russia. On many of those issues, the president says he's outperformed expectations.
I don't think I've overpromised at all, and I'm going to stay on this track.
Still, the president did acknowledge Americans are frustrated by the pandemic and rising prices. He says it's up to the Federal Reserve to get inflation under control.
Given the strength of our economy and the pace of recent price increases, it's appropriate, as the Federal Fed Chairman Powell has indicated, to recalibrate the support that is now necessary.
President also says Russia could move in on Ukraine. How the U.S. and NATO respond, he says, depends on what Russia does.
It's one thing if it's a minor incursion and then we end up having a fight about what to do and not do, et cetera. But if they actually do what they're capable of doing with the force amassed on the border, it is going to be a disaster for Russia.
After the news conference, the White House clarified that any Russian troop movement across the Ukrainian border would be met with a swift, severe, and united response.
Well, Nathan, plenty of reaction to President Biden's news conference, especially his comments on Russia. And here's Bloomberg Politics contributor Rick Davis.
When you're dealing with foreign policy, signals and how clear they are really critical to the outcomes. If Vladimir Putin was watching that press conference, I'm thinking he goes back to his advisors and says, yeah, did he just give me permission to roll across the border?
And Bloomberg Politics contributor Rick Davis spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, meantime, Karen, at the Supreme Court, former President Donald Trump has suffered a defeat. Justices cleared the release of some White House documents related to the January 6th insurrection. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
So the documents can be released to the January 6th House Committee investigating the attempted insurrection at the Capitol. National Archives can now turn over about 800 pages of material, including visitor and call logs, emails, draft speeches, and handwritten notes. Trump was trying to override President Biden's decision to waive executive privilege, but the court decided to side with the committee. Clarence Thomas was the only dissent. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Well, outside of politics, we're also focused on the controversial rollout of 5G. So far, the country has avoided major airline disruptions tied to the service. And we get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. The FAA is clearing about 62% of the U.S. aviation fleet to operate at airports without fear of 5G interference. And the new safety measures also increase the number of airports where flights can safely operate. The agency's list of cleared aircraft includes most Boeing and Airbus models, but what you won't see on the list are any of the regional jet models that perform roughly half of all scheduled airline flights. Now, while the U.S. avoided major disruptions on the first official day of 5G service, the FAA warns that disruptions to flights are still possible. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Renita, thanks. Let's get back to markets now, where the focus is on earnings this week. Up next, Netflix reports results after the closing bell. Let's get a preview from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
The big focus for investors in Netflix's fourth quarter earnings report is subscriber additions in the final 3 months of 2021 and its forecast for the current quarter in light of the price hike it just announced for U.S. subscribers. Bloomberg estimates 8.3 million more global ads last quarter, slightly below the streaming giant's own prediction of 8.5 million additions. Revenue forecast to be $7.71 billion, with earnings per share estimated at 80 cents. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thank you. And big tech also a focus right now on Capitol Hill. A tech-focused antitrust bill in the Senate has been expanded to include China's two biggest social media companies. Lawmakers added TikTok and WeChat to the measure after criticism the legislation would give an advantage to foreign firms. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Rain and 40 degrees in Central Park, but that rain's going to change over into snow this morning. We're under a winter weather advisory, and it is slippery on the roads. We'll get details on all the accidents coming up in traffic shortly. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The tri-state area, as you mentioned, getting another dose of winter weather. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Michael, the National Weather Service has a winter weather advisory in effect for the city and parts of New Jersey this morning. A cold front's going to cross the area. That's going to change any rain over to some wet snow. Right now, it looks like the accumulations will be limited, a coating to maybe as much as 2 inches, especially across some of the higher hilltops in northwestern New Jersey. Precipitation should be done by midday. Temperatures will be falling, so folks need to be careful because there will be some slick spots, especially this afternoon. Michael?
Thank you very much, Rob. New York Mayor Eric Adams says enough is enough after an 11-month-old child is in critical but stable condition after she was struck in the face by a stray bullet. The child was in a parked car with her mother while her father went into a grocery store. Police say a man chasing another ran and opened fire, and then a bullet struck the child in the Bronx. Adams, who campaigned on a pledge to make the city safer, spoke to reporters after meeting with the girl's parents at the hospital.
There was a total disregard for the innocent people who are walking these streets. This is not the city our children should grow up in.
Mayor Adams says he's going to stay in the streets until the city is safe. New York City officials want to send drivers and cyclists a message: lax enforcement of traffic rules is ending. Mayor Adams said the city is launching a multi-million-dollar ad campaign to highlight pedestrian safety initiatives and a new traffic rule requiring cyclists and drivers to come to a complete stop at all intersections. Adams says people must learn the rules of the road or get off the road. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says he will require health care workers and employees in nursing homes and prisons to get fully vaccinated and boosted against COVID-19, dropping an option to either get the shot or be tested.
This is an unfathomable number. Roughly 575,000 New Jerseyans have tested positive for COVID. and overwhelmingly with the Omicron variant.
Governor Murphy says that healthcare workers who are unvaccinated will have until next Thursday to get their first shot, until the end of February for their second. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stasher.
Thanks, Nathan. Rangers went on a long road trip, won 3-5 back at the Garden. First time in over 2 weeks. Another win for the Blue Shirts. They were down 3-1. They came back and beat Toronto 6-3. Their 26th win of the season, only 10 losses. Ryan Reeves with his first two goals as a Ranger. Adam Fox scored a pair, and Chris Kreider got his 25th of the season. Devils lost their third in a row, beaten at home by Arizona 4-1. Nets in Washington, a road game, means a Kyrie Irving game. Good thing for Brooklyn. He scored 30 points. The Nets hung on. Topped the Wizards 119-118. The Marcus Aldridge added 27. Knicks are 0-2 on this homestand tonight. They take on New Orleans. In Philadelphia, the Sixers' Joel Embiid, limited to only 27 minutes due to an injury, still scored 50 points in a win over Orlando. Another center, Nikola Jokic, 49 points in a triple-double in Denver's two-point win over the L.A. Clippers. The Lakers keep losing. They fell at home to Indiana. Lakers have lost 4 of 5, under 500. They insist they have no plans to fire their coach, Frank Vogel. St. John's went out to Omaha, got blown out by Creighton, 87-64. Villanova upset at home by Marquette. Rutgers topped Iowa, low-scoring affair, 48-46. Australian Open, Daniel Medvedev is playing now against the Aussie Nick Kyrgios. Medvedev leads 2-1. Giants said they would hire a general manager and then worry about getting a coach, and yet they have received permission to interview a coaching candidate, Dan Quinn, former Atlanta coach, now the defensive coordinator in Dallas. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 25 points. Dow futures up 159. NASDAQ futures on the rise by 126 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 7/32. The yield, 1.83%, and the yield on the 2-year right now, 1.03%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Rain changes to snow this morning. Highs in the low 40s. Temperatures falling through the day by tomorrow will only be in the low 20s for highs. Upper 20s by Saturday. Currently rain and 40 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning. European stocks have trimmed their losses and moved higher now. This is a global sovereign bond sell-off pauses, and investors turn their focus to corporate earnings. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures up 27 points this morning. Dow futures up 177. NASDAQ futures up 140. And the DAX in Germany is now up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 0.32. Yield 1.83%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.03%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.33% or 28 cents at $86.68 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.33% as well, down $6.10 at $18.39.40 an ounce. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. President Joe Biden says he thinks Russia will invade Ukraine during his news conference yesterday. Biden also warned President Vladimir Putin that his country would pay a dear price in lives lost and a possible cutoff from the global banking system if it does. As for NATO,
the likelihood that Ukraine is going to join NATO in the near term is not very likely.
President Biden also said a minor incursion by Russia would elicit a lesser response. He later sought to clarify that he was referring to a non-military action such as a cyber attack. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Wizards 119-118. The Celtics lost. NHL, the Rangers won. The Devils lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's take a look at markets now and the long-term outlook for risk assets. Inflation concerns are leading to worries about tightening from the Fed. At this time last year, the forecast was for no rate increases this year.
Now predictions have the central bank hiking anywhere from 50 to 125 basis points by December, and that has led to volatility in rate and equities markets, particularly in high-growth tech stocks. For more, let's get the view from the head of Fidelity International, CEO Ann Richards, sat down this morning for an interview with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix. Here's part of that conversation now.
On inflation, have you changed your mind on how quickly central banks should move on? I think in December you said that, you know, they would have to be in a wait-and-see situation to have some concrete data before they acted.
I think that the point that we've been quite consistent of for quite a few months now is that the risk of a policy mistake by being too hawkish was probably the bigger risk on a balance of probabilities, which is not to say that there aren't quite significant challenges in the inflation picture. And I think we probably stand by that, particularly now when you see that we've got this tension between, yes, rising inflation, but at the same time, some real signs that maybe the growth picture is not quite as rosy as it was 4 or 5 months ago. And that's a combination of Omicron, but just the way the whole supply chain challenges have played out. And I think when, if you're a central banker right now, you're in that kind of catch-22 situation because you don't want to kill growth that might already be under some pressure, but at the same time, you've got this big challenge on the inflation front. If you unpick the inflation challenges, they're quite different in different parts of the world. I mean, one of the things I think is very striking is the fact that inflation numbers look much worse in the US to the way they look in Europe. In Europe, there's still a challenge, but of course, still significantly higher than, for example, Japan. So the inflation picture is playing out for a whole host of different reasons, and it's not clear that those reasons will necessarily respond quickly to interest rate rises, which suggests that maybe interest rate rises aren't always the answer.
Do central banks need to adapt their language to communicate better with the markets, or how do you think this will play out? Like the market reaction to what the central banks are saying more than doing?
So I think there's two things that are really worth thinking about. I think central banks are really keen to manage our inflation expectations. They care more about our inflation expectations than they do about absolute levels of inflation. And I think you can already see that by the responses that there have been out there. The second is, I think there's a very close attention paid to real yields, because when you look at those long-term macro trends, very high debt levels, and a more challenging demographic, short-term lifts in inflation because of changes in demand pattern, because of changes in employment choices, and because of that supply chain disruption, they're all relatively short or at least cyclical issues against that very long structural shift that you've got going on with demographics and with high debt levels. And so I think it's the real yield that really the central bankers are most focused on, because if that rises significantly, certainly if it gets above zero, then you start to have a real risk of a very hard landing. And I don't think that is on anybody's roadmap. So as a central banker, I think that's what you're playing with right now. Yeah. Get our inflation expectations down matters more than the absolute level of inflation today.
And so what does it mean for the markets, Anne? Is this the right time to bet on parts of the markets that could benefit from the end of the pandemic?
Well, I mean, end of pandemic, that's a really big statement out there. I mean, what do we mean by the end of the pandemic? Do we mean just adjusting to the fact that we're going to have ongoing waves over periods of time and we need to get better at adapting to them? I think for what it means for markets is that I think central banks, if they see the inflation expectations maintained under control and they don't see real yields getting out of control, I think probably will be at the margin more dovish than the rhetoric today suggests, which means actually probably, although this volatility is likely to continue for some time, actually that's not a bad bedrock. Rates that rise too hard, too fast, and squeeze off what is quite a fragile economic recovery. I think the final point I would make is that there are parts of the world, and China is the most noticeable in that, where they actually, because they've taken a very different approach to the pandemic, they're looking for maybe easing rather than a tightening agenda, which you're seeing in other parts of the world. And we need to have space for both if we're going to keep the global picture of recovery and growth on track.
And that's Fidelity International CEO Ann Richards speaking with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix this morning. And you can catch more of that conversation online
at Bloomberg.com. Looking at markets right now, futures are moving higher along with treasuries. That's bringing yields lower this morning. S&P futures right now up 25 points. Dow futures up 157. And NASDAQ futures leading the gains this morning. They're up 137 points. That is a gain of 0.9%. The 10-year treasury is up 8/32. The yield now 1.83% on the 10-year and the yield on the 2-year 1.03. Just ahead, is this market relief? And how's the 5G rollout affecting airlines? We'll have the five things you need to know to start your day. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Rain will change to snow this morning. Early highs in the low 40s. Temperatures falling through the day. Partly sunny highs only in the low 20s tomorrow. Mix of sun and clouds, upper 20s Sunday. Right now, 40 and rain.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It is time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. IBKR charges margin loan rates from 0.75% to 1.59%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at IBKR.com/compare. Up first, U.S. futures are higher and bond yields are lower following yesterday's sell-off. Let's get more on the market action live with the Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Karen, after yesterday 1% slide for the NASDAQ, the index is now down over 10% from its November high. There may be some relief, though. Bonds are stabilizing today, and earnings season has delivered positive results from companies like Morgan Stanley, United Health, and Procter & Gamble. Still, strategists at HSBC are cutting their recommendation on U.S. stocks from overweight to neutral. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Politics is also a major focus this morning. President Biden's push for voting rights legislation has collapsed. Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema broke with Democrats to kill the bill. Still, Vice President Kamala Harris is not giving up.
The president and I are not going to give up on this issue. This is fundamental to our democracy, and it is non-negotiable.
Vice President Harris says they'll look to pass a smaller voting plan instead.
Meantime, Nathan, President Biden held a wide-ranging news conference to end his first year in office. The president said he's outperformed expectations, but admits frustration from rising prices and the pandemic. He also says tensions with Russian President Vladimir Putin could come to a head over Ukraine.
I'm not so sure he has is certain what he's going to do. My guess is he will move in. He has to do something.
President Biden says Russia will be held accountable if it invades Ukraine.
Outside politics, Karen, we're focused on the controversial rollout of 5G. So far, the country's avoided major airline disruptions tied to the service. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Renita.
Joe, Nathan, the FAA is clearing about 62% of the U.S. aviation fleet to operate at airports without fear of 5G interference. In the new study, safety measures also increase the number of airports where flights can safely operate. While the U.S. avoided major disruptions on the first official day of 5G service, the FAA warns that disruptions are still possible. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And back to the markets this morning. The focus remains on earnings. We get results from Netflix after the closing bell. The company projects a gain of 8.5 million subscribers. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Rain 39 degrees in Central Park. We've got an accident in Stamford, southbound Connecticut Turnpike at exit 6. Details on that and more coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Mayor Eric Adams says enough is enough after an 11-month-old girl was struck by a stray bullet last night in the Bronx. The child, who was in critical condition, was with her mother in a parked vehicle while her father was in a nearby grocery store. Police say an unidentified man apparently opened fire while chasing another man in the street. Adams, who campaigned on a pledge to make the city safer, said he met with the girl's parents at the hospital.
Doesn't matter to me if it's a police officer shot or if it's a baby shot. I'm going to stay in these streets until this city is safe.
Mayor Adams, as the shooter, is still on the loose. In another matter, New York Mayor Adams said that he would consider excluding the New York City Police Department from a citywide cost-cutting measure that he is implementing across all government agencies. In his first weeks in office, Adams asked all city departments to cut non-personnel spending by 3% as New York prepares to balance the nearly $99 billion budget with minimal federal aid money. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is requiring all workers in healthcare settings and high-risk congregate living facilities to be fully COVID-19 vaccinated and boosted. Murphy also says he is eliminating a test-out option.
An Omicron tsunami has washed across our state. While it appears that the Omicron tsunami is finally pulling back, we are in no position to say we're on dry ground.
Murphy says those in the healthcare community who aren't vaccinated have until January 27th to get their first vaccine dose and the second shot by February 28th. The U.S. Supreme Court denied a request from former President Trump to shield his presidential papers from the congressional committee investigating the January 6th attack. There was one vote in dissent who would have allowed Trump to claim executive privilege over the documents, Justice Clarence Thomas. Ghislaine Maxwell formally asked for a new trial after her lawyers raised concerns that at least one of the jurors who convicted her of sex trafficking didn't disclose during pretrial screenings that he was sexually abused as a child. The British socialite was found guilty last month of helping to sexually abuse underage girls with Jeffrey Epstein. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thank you. Just about 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stachauer.
Nathan, the criticism of Kyrie Irving continues, the latest to weigh in. Hall of Famer Dave Bing, who said Irving is letting his teammates down. One of those teammates, James Harden, recently joked that he's going to inject Kyrie with the vaccine himself. There are no indications Kyrie will change his stance, which means he will continue to play only on the road. The Nets are playing a lot of road games right now. Last night they were in Washington. They topped the Wizards 119-118. Irving scored 30 points.
I just felt like chipping in the first half, getting us going, being aggressive, and then kind of pacing myself in the second half, just trying to put two solid halves together at this point. And I think once I do that, I'll feel a lot more complete. But in terms of where we are as a team, it was a good, gutting win.
Despite Irving playing part-time and now the Kevin Durant injury, Nets only a half game out for first in the East. Knicks home tonight for New Orleans. Last night at the Garden, another Ranger win, 6-3 over Toronto. Two goals for Adam Fox and two for Ryan Reeves, his first two of the season. Devils lost at home to Arizona 4-1. St. John's beaten soundly by Creighton, 87-64. Rutgers, a 48-46 win over Iowa on Ron Harper's two free throws with 2 seconds left. Andy Murray is trying to make a comeback at age 34. He'd been riddled with injury the last 2 years. He lost his second-round match at the Australian Open. Daniel Medvedev, the 2 seed, off the U.S. Open win last September. He just won his match with the Aussie Nick Kyrgios in 4 sets, but Emma Raducanu, who won the Open, lost in 3 sets. Battle of Americans, Taylor Fritz beat Francis Tiafoe, and then Fritz then hurt his leg celebrating the victory. He says he'll be fine for his next match. John Stachauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with a focus on earnings in the air.
Yeah, we got to talk about these earnings. Everyone's talking about, you know, Netflix, and big tech and banks. No one's talking about the airlines. You had United Air report after hours yesterday, reporting a loss in the final 3 months of 2021, a better loss than expected, but a loss nonetheless, Nathan, saying that Omicron is cutting into their 2022 capacity. They're still dealing with those labor pressures and, of course, those supply chain costs as well. That's really rippling into kind of their bottom line. What's important to keep in mind here is that for airlines, one of the big sticking points has been, when are they going to recover from this kind of COVID hit? When are they going to actually turn positive? Delta was the very first one to do that in the fourth quarter of 2021. And now we have to see if some of those airlines can really keep up. But right now, Nathan, I'm staring Eric, a message from Eric on my terminal here. But Nathan, is actually down under pressure. Remember, they've also been dealing with about 3,000 people calling in sick simply because they have COVID. So the labor issues, very very pronounced in airline stock. Nevertheless, UAL is your ticker, down about 0.5%. American Airlines is where we're going to get that next test to see if it's kind of a United Air story or this is an airline story broadly. AAL is your ticker, up 1.8% in the pre-market. They are reporting, I believe, in the next hour. So something to keep an eye on as we go into the rest of earnings season.
Yeah, definitely watching those airline earnings as well as Netflix, as you mentioned, reporting after the bell this afternoon. We've got some analyst moves this morning as well.
Yeah, the analysts keeping busy, keeping us on our toes. I'm going to start here with semiconductors. Advanced Micro Devices, AMD, down 1.3% in the pre-market. NXP Semiconductors as well, down 1.4%. The ticker is NXP. Both cut to neutral from an overweight over at Piper Sandler, citing those downside risks. For AMD, it's going to be a combination of a potential slowdown in the PC market in 2022, earnings growth, headwinds from closing a Xilinx deal, and, of course, just broader market dynamics. Around tech stocks, we know that's a very crucial spot to look at right now. For NXP, also cut because of a very cautious automotive view. When it comes to semiconductors, there is a wall of worry, especially when it comes to Piper Stanley, and that is clearly weighing on both AMD and NXP. I'll leave you on an up note, Nathan, because we got to leave you with some optimism here. Vertex Pharmaceuticals, VRTX, up 0.7% after it gets upgraded to an outperform from a market perform over at BMO, saying it has, quote, an increasingly positive outlook on the company, a rare view in the biotech space.
All right, Creedy, thanks. I'll let you get back to that message from Eric. I'll make sure you write back to him. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Creedy Gupta with the pre-market look this morning. And as we take a look at stocks as a whole ahead of the Thursday morning open, futures are moving higher. We got S&P futures right now up 24 points. Dow futures up 140. NASDAQ futures on the rise by 134 points. The 10-year Treasury up 9/32. The yield 1.83%. Yield on the 2-year right now 1.03%. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, rain changing to snow this morning, early highs in the low 40s, temperatures falling through the day tomorrow, partly sunny, low 20s for highs, upper 20s by Saturday, rain and 39 degrees right now.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures rising this morning. We enter the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the green after yesterday's sell-off, with Dow futures currently up 102 points. S&P's gained 20, while the NASDAQ futures are higher by 115. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.83%. Gold is down 3. Oil is little changed. Bitcoin is trading higher by 0.9%. Hong Kong rose 3.4% overnight, while European markets are trading mixed right now. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobless claims in the Philly Fed, and at 10 o'clock, existing home sales. After the bell last night, Alcoa EPS beat estimates, and United Airlines Q4 operating revenue also beat estimates. In deal news, Chesapeake Energy nears a $2.4 billion deal to buy Chief Oil and Gas. And in other news, Google is forming a blockchain group. Wrapping things up, Ford was cut to hold over at Jefferies. Etsy raised overweight at KeyBank. U.S. Bancorp was cut to market perform at KBW. And AMD was cut to neutral over at Piper. Live from the First Third Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Despite a last-minute attempt from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to overhaul Senate filibuster rules, voting rights legislation has once again failed in the Senate. Republicans have blocked voting rights legislation. There was Senate debate, but every single Republican went on the record voting against it. The U.S. Supreme Court cleared the way for some of former President Donald Trump's White House papers to be turned over to a congressional panel investigating the January 6th Capitol attack. The justices rejected Trump's bid to block the release on grounds of executive privilege. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Wizards 119-118. The Celtics lost. In the NHL, the Rangers won. The Devils lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Incomplete. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion.
Here's a reader's guide for evaluations of Joe Biden's first year in office, beyond the obvious advice to be wary of partisan cheers or jeers. First, while presidents are surely the single most important players in U.S. politics, that's all they are, single players. Evaluations that ignore the context the presidents work in are useless. Then be sure that any evaluation is clear about the differences between the president, the presidency, and the larger political system. Congress, not the president, passes legislation. It's fair to consider how a president influenced Congress, but not to assume that whatever happened must have been what the president wanted. Be alert for the pundit's fallacy, the certainty that success requires support for the pundit's ideas. Even more tempting is an approval rating effect, with all actions interpreted as successes when things are going well and mistakes when they're not. Some things haven't played out yet, and important information has yet to become public. The grade most presidents deserve after 1 year is incomplete. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, which announced that renowned scholar and educational leader Dr. Tech Lim will join the university as NJIT's ninth president. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Deep in the South Pacific, scientists have explored a rare stretch of pristine coral shaped like roses off the coast of Tahiti. The reef is thought to be one of the largest found at such depths and seems untouched by climate change or human activities. Globally, coral reefs have been depleted from overfishing and pollution. Climate change is also harming delicate corals with severe bleaching caused by warmer waters. A first for Amazon, the company said it plans to open a clothing store in a Southern California mall later this year. Shoppers will get to personalized recommendations pushed to their phones as they browse the new Amazon-style store stocked mostly with non-Amazon fashion labels. The store will be about 30,000 square feet, similar in size to a Kohl's, but about one-third the size of other department stores like Macy's. And an NFT startup co-founded by pro football star Tom Brady raised $170 million in a round of funding. The company called Autograph partners with athletes to create digital collectibles. Brady has been one of the highest-profile advocates from the world of sports and entertainment for cryptocurrencies. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Thank you, Karen. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Senate Republicans blocking voting rights legislation, setting up a long-shot effort to change the rules, the Supreme Court clearing the release of some of former President Trump's January 6th records, and President Biden defending his record as he heads into his second year in office.
We have faced some of the biggest challenges that we've ever faced in this country these past few years. Challenges to our public health, challenges to our economy, but we're getting through it.
Let's get more now on the president's news conference and all that's happening in the nation's capital with Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Emily, it was nearly 2 hours the president faced questions from reporters yesterday. A lot to unpack and a lot of expectation or a sense that the president needs to recalibrate, but he says that he's staying on his current track.
Yeah, Biden really doubled down on a lot of the more questions about his presidency, about what he needs to do differently. I mean, near the end, he was sort of indicating that he was going to try to get out to talk to the American people more, that that was a change that he was planning to make. But he did make a little bit of news with the presser. He seemed to indicate that he was open to breaking up his signature social policy and tax bill into smaller pieces that could then pass through Congress. And he also talked a little bit about Russia. He mentioned that the U.S. and their allies have yet to agree on how to hold Moscow accountable for what he called a minor incursion. And that remark immediately, White House other officials and comms people jumped on that remark, said they were clarifying that there would definitely be swift action. But that raised a lot of eyebrows and red flags, just because the U.S.'s posture on Russia and Ukraine has tried to be one of, you know, tried to be as strong as possible. That's sort of the position that they're trying to negotiate from. And a remark like this could potentially undercut the opinion of what the U.S. will do, the threat of the U.S. retaliating should Russia invade.
So coming after this news conference, Emily, where does this leave President Biden positioned as he heads into year two? What are you going to be watching for?
So I think one of the big things to be watching for is exactly what does happen with that social spending and tax package. Certainly that's really one area that Biden has control over delivering. It will be also interesting to see whether the White House tries to do more to address the economic indicators with inflation, with the economy, with jobs. As well as with coronavirus, if there is another surge, is the administration prepared? This last time they were really caught flat-footed when it came to Omicron and to have the testing that they needed. You know, a lot of the things here for Biden that he's grappling with, they're somewhat outside the ability for the White House to control and to navigate. But that doesn't really matter to voters at the end of the day. If they feel like they're worse off than they were 4 years ago, and Biden's clearly in trouble. We are seeing some of the highest disapproval numbers for him this morning. And in fact, one poll is actually showing that only 40% of Democrats want him to run again. So less than half of his own party actually wants to see Biden run in 2024.
And as you mentioned, it sounds like President Biden is hoping to get those poll numbers back up by getting out on the road more. Where does that leave Congress? I mean, his agenda still has to be enacted in a lot of respects on Capitol Hill. And we just saw yesterday that voting rights legislation, his latest piece of a domestic agenda, has come up short as well.
I mean, to be blunt, Nathan, there's no rule that says that the president has to be in Washington, D.C. for Congress to pass legislation. Congress kind of can do its own thing, and then Biden can just sign on the dotted line. Certainly, as you expect Biden to be involved in these negotiations, you've seen him come to Capitol Hill numerous times. But after his trips to Capitol Hill, it doesn't seem to do anything. He visited the Senate. They still didn't pass that rules change for the Voting Rights Act. He visited the House over the Build Back Better plan. That is currently stalled. So it doesn't seem like Biden's direct interactions the moment he comes to Capitol Hill have really panned out for him the way that the administration probably hoped. So it might not make a huge difference. One thing I am interested to see is if lawmakers who are facing reelection want to campaign with Biden, if they want Biden to come to their districts. If Biden's poll numbers continue to decline or even stay at their current level, there could be Democrats in really critical swing states and districts who say, you know what, you're just not popular here. Please don't come and campaign with me. So that'll be an interesting dynamic to watch going forward.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, as we head into year two of the Biden presidency. Emily, thanks as always. And you can read more about these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal and listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Some earnings crossing the Bloomberg terminal from Travelers. Fourth quarter earnings per share beat the average analyst estimate. Much more on that and all the earnings picture and markets with Bloomberg Surveillance, Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. That's coming up next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.